Chapter number 14. Luke chapter number 14. Very familiar verses of scripture, but I felt like the Lord dealt with me in a little different manner. Amen. Luke chapter number 14, starting at verse number 16. Amen. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper, and he bade many. So notice this. I never caught this till today. Maybe you caught it before. But it appears that this man making the meal had bade many. He had already asked several people, you going to come? Are you going to come and make a dinner? And are you going to come? And they probably nonchalantly said, yes, you can count me in. Have you ever had people tell you that? You can count on me. Yeah. But when it really gets down to it, they're undependable. Yeah. Amen. Then he said to him, a certain man made a great supper, and he bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden. Amen. He had already sent out a formal invitation, and he said, I'm gonna fix a dinner. And when he got the dinner fixed here, he bade them to come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said to him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them, and I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, notice this, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and into the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Amen. I want to notice your attention one last time here to verse number 18, where I'm going to take my text from. And they all with one consent begin to make excuses.
Right, yeah.
Praise God. There's my title, excuses. Excuses. Amen. And my mind immediately, Brother Tommy, goes to, the service, the Pentecostal service that we know it as. Amen. I thank God for preaching. I esteem it very high. I thank God for singing. I esteem it very high. Thank God for His Word. Thank God for the Holy Ghost in our services. Amen. Amen. But sometimes we may diminish one of the most important parts of our service. And you know what that is? That's the altar service. Right. Amen. Right. After the Word of God is broken, the bread of life is given out. Amen. The Spirit of God has moved. Amen. Lastly, God puts His stamp on this invitation to come. Right. Amen. And get a great feast that has been prepared for us. Amen.
Right.
And I tell you, I've seen altars change people's lives. How about you?
Yes.
Amen. I've seen the Spirit of God move in an altar, and people's lives were never the same from that point on. Amen. But there's something, notice here tonight with me. Now, like I said, I got a different thought here. I feel like the Lord dealt with me. But I've seen in those altar services, amen, whether it be a service for one to get saved, maybe somebody, amen, the Lord was dealing with somebody to be saved. Maybe God was dealing, as Brother Tom said this morning, with somebody to be sanctified. Amen. Maybe the call was given for one that's hungry for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. No matter what the call was, no matter what the need was in that particular service, one thing I've noticed for years, amen, when it gets to that part of the service, there's always interruptions. Amen. There's always a space of time there when the devil gives us excuses and says, you don't have to get it tonight. One man said, I married a wife and I can't come. Another man said, I bought some property and I don't have time to come. Another man said, I bought some equipment to do the job with. I bought some oxen. Amen. And I don't have time to come. And when it really got down to being invited by the master, amen. And we're invited by the master in the altar service, amen. Right. And when the important part really came, they had excuses of something that was more important that they wanted to do, amen. And I've seen that, praise God. God gets to moving in the service, and maybe it gets close to quit time, and we've already got our minds on work tomorrow. Mothers already have their minds on doing laundry and cleaning the house and what am I going to fix tomorrow. Amen. Parents are worried about getting home, getting the kids into bed for school tomorrow. Excuses, amen. Things that get in our way of coming to the supper. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen. It's been a long day. I'm tired. Amen. And I've got things that I need to do. There will always be an excuse when the invitation is given.
Right.
Amen. I suppose it may be the reason a lot of churches today no longer give altar calls. We have a program. We have songs. We've got a preacher that'll get up. A guy asked me there at the hospital. A nurse asked me one time, said, "How long you preach?" I said, "Oh, about 30 minutes. He said, "Woo, you're long-winded." And I thought I was pretty short-winded. Amen. He said, "Our preacher preaches 15 minutes. Amen. If I called your name to it, it's probably the most popular church in town, big church. Amen. Run over 1,000 people." And he said, basically all he does is get up and give a motivational speech. Amen. And tells them how good they can do and how God can prosper them. Amen. And they don't even hardly give an altar service. But I come to tell us tonight, amen, the most important thing that I know is to get down there to supper, amen, and fill up with what God has for you. Amen. One great fact is on the side of the evangelist, amen, on the side of the preacher, there is a distinct possibility that God's invitation to a man and to a woman, amen, in this, every service is important. Every service is distinct. God may be coming for what you need, and it might only come one time. Hey, I've seen God reach out for sinners, amen, for the call to be saved.
Yeah.
And they say, "Oh, not now. Amen, now's not the right time. I got to live my life. I got to spend some more years and sow some wild oats." Little did they know that was the season that God was going to fill them from the supper table. And they missed their chance because of some excuse. I've seen people pray in the altars, amen, miss their call, amen, for that call of sanctification. I'm going to preach to us here in a minute. Hey, amen, come. Why don't you come and give your heart to God? Why don't you come and sell out and give up the world and sell out for God? And we say, "Oh, no, I've got my nice suit on tonight. I've got my nice clothes on. I've got to hurry up and study for a test tomorrow." And they miss out, amen, maybe on the only time that God ever was going to deal, amen, and feed them from the supper table. I come to tell us tonight, you don't want to make an excuse when God comes calling. Hey, these men in my text tonight, amen, the Bible tells us that they never got a second chance. Oh, yes, the first man said, "I bought a piece of ground." He inspected this ground after the fact that he bought it. Hey, I don't know about you, Brother Tommy. Amen. I bought one piece of ground one time in my life, just a vacant piece of land. And I walked that property, Brother J.R., from one corner to the other corner. Hey, I was nervous about buying it. And a new old man, Brother Johnny Justice over there, was a good, shrewd businessman. I said, "Brother Johnny, would you walk this property with me?" 80-some years old. We went walking across that property. I didn't want to make a bad business decision. Hey, amen. I tried to research that land before everybody. This guy had a pathetic excuse. "I bought a piece of land and I know I need to go check it out." You should have checked the land out before you ever bought it.
Right.
Hey, amen. I tell you what he his problem was. Amen. His problem was he loved possessions. Amen. It's a reason people still reject him today. It was a love for possessions that caused his action. Amen. We find of a man named Ananias and Sapphira. They missed out on what God had for them because of possessions. Oh yes. We read of a man by the name of Achan who missed out not only for himself but for his entire family. He missed out on that call that God had for their life because he was tied to possessions. Hey, I don't know who I'm preaching to tonight, but I sure feel like a man. Hey, come on. Amen. Get ready to preach to somebody. The second man, amen, he wasn't tied to possessions. He was tied to his professional work. He said, I bought some oxen and I need to go prove them. And the very same situation falls here. I bought a few zero turn mowers. Amen. I like to buy them new because when I spend about a week or two on them, they look used anyway. Amen. So, Brother Tom, I drove to Cincinnati. I drove to Lexington and bought zero turn mowers. And if I'm going to spend a lot of money on them, I tell you what I do before I buy them. I get on there and I check the oil. I check the fluids. Amen. I get down and check everything I know to check. And not only that, I get on that thing. Amen. Last one I bought, I cut the lady's yard with it. She probably looked out there and said, what's this guy? I cut her whole entire yard. Amen. Make sure that thing was going run right. This guy said, I bought some oxen and I need to go prove them. That's a sad story, buddy. You should have tried them oxen out before you ever bought them. Amen. And really what he was saying is, amen, I've got other things. My job is more important. Amen. Things of this world are more important. God was calling, come and dine. I want to fill you up. But he's saying, no, I got things in this world that's tying me down. I come to tell us the most important thing on this side of heaven is selling out and giving everything to God. Give him everything. Give him your job. Give him your possessions. Give him everything you got. Amen.
Yes, sir.
That's what was wrong with Felix. He had a professional, amen, professional job. He was, amen, a man in authority. He was a man in power. Amen. And Paul spoke the word, so Felix, to the Bible said he trembled and he shook and he thought, I need to answer the altar call. But what happened? The preacher laid the message out. The Holy Ghost went forth. Felix was standing trembling and the altar call was given. What are you going to do, Felix? And he answered this way, I will wait for a more convenient season. My job's more important. I'd rather be a man in authority than I would a man on my knees before God. And we never find another time where Paul ever came to Felix. We never hear another time, amen, when conviction ever shook his heart. I come to tell us, God doesn't work in our life, and he may only come by one time. And when he comes by, be sensitive to his spirit. Be sensitive to the work of God. And don't give an excuse. There's nothing in this world more important than serving God.
Right.
Woo!
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. The third man said, amen, I got people, in his case a woman. He said, I married a wife. People were more important to him. Amen. He should have married that wife and brought her along. Hallelujah. People say, I need time with my family. Amen. I need time. Amen. And thank God for that. I'm a family man myself. I love my kids more than anything.
Yeah.
But there's a fine balance there. Right. Amen. Above my kids. And I say this reverently, I love them. Hey, we was up there in Richlands. Amen. And this old guy had a speech impediment. Me, Brother Dave Miller, we laughed and laughed about this. He got a speech impediment. And he's talking about his boy. Amen. And he had a stroke. Amen. And he said, I'd gladly lay down my wife for my son. He's talking about life, but he said, my wife. He had a speech impediment. And we was confused. But a check, me and Brother Dave looked at one another and different one. And he said, I gladly lay down my wife
for my son. And we was confused. What he was saying was, he had laid down his life for his children. I'd lay down my life for my kids. I'd lay down my life for my wife back there. But greater than that, I'd lay it down for him. God, you're the most important thing. Hey, if he don't breathe on me, hey, man, I could be dead tomorrow. If God don't breathe on us, we could go bankrupt tomorrow. People don't mean anything. God means everything. Put God first. Hey, I come to tell us, somebody's using excuses why you can't get somewhere with God. And God said, hey, I'm the most important thing in this world. Amen.
Yes.
Hey, I've seen young couples, hey man, unmarried couples, hey man, go to Dayton, the wrong crowd. Oh, I'll change him, I'll pull him over. But little did they know, it wasn't very long he pulled them out. Come on, where that guy falls in love. Like old brother Mike Roberts said, he thought he was getting a little blue-eyed kitten, but what he got was a wildcat. Hey, I'll be able to pull her in. Hey, but what you don't realize is, 9 times out of 10, they pull you out. People ain't worth it. Hey, man, great God, that boy or that girl, they ain't worth it. But God is worth it. I gotta get in everything. I gotta sell out. He's calling me to the supper. He's opened the altar. And what am I gonna do? I come to tell us tonight, I'm about to call us in to the important part of this service. Some of us better realize, as long as the door's open, God's gonna deal, and God's gonna move, and God's gonna do it. But I gotta move when the season is right. Sometimes in our life, there's a season. And when that season is over, amen, you'll never have opportunity again. Did you know that? Amen. Some opportunities come once a lifetime. Oh, yes. Some opportunities only come once in a life. That's right. I'm not saying this to be funny. That's why it's important to pray through and get the right wife. That's why it's important to pray through and get the right husband. That's why it's important to lay it down on the altar. That's what I did. Hey, the season was open. And Michelle better be glad she found me while the season was right. Hey, come on now. Hey, she knew it too. She knew when she found the right guy. She asked me out. Amen. Hey, God in heaven. Hey, come on now. But I come to tell us, hey, I feel like tonight somebody's in a season. Hey, amen. About 10 o'clock last night, I had plans on preaching something else. But I read this scripture and it got to dealing with my heart. And I feel like God said, somebody's going to be there. Amen. That's in a season. That's in a time in their life. It may never open up again. That's why you better make the right choice right now in this season. That's why you better make the right choice. Amen. The altar call is given. The supper is bidden. Everything is on the table. And he's saying, come and eat for yourself. Hey, everything's right. The time is right. The food is right. Don't make an excuse, but give God everything. If you don't, you'll spend your life in regret of a season you missed out on. Woo! Hey, hey man, there are refusals which once made, you'll never forget. Oh yeah, that's right. Hey man, I come across this and I had to take a screenshot on my phone here. Hey man, in 1973, Gary Kendall wrote the first popular operating system for personal computers named CP/M. According, amen, to Philip Fromani, IBM approached Gary Kendall in 1980, just 8 years after his invention. IBM, amen, about developing this operating system for them, for their own personal computers. But Kendall snubbed IBM officials at a crucial meeting According to another author, the day IBM came calling to Kendall, he chose to fly his new airplane and he snubbed the officials of IBM. This frustrated those executives of IBM, and they turned instead to a man by the name of Bill Gates, founder of a small software company called Microsoft, and his operating system named MS-DOS. Amen. The rest is history. In 2010, Bill Gates was worth $53 billion. But Mr. Kendall, history is gone. He's already laid to rest and died just a normal death with just normal means. But Bill Gates had the opportunity of a lifetime, and he took advantage of it. $53 billion he's worth in 2010. Amen. He's one of the richest men that have ever walked on planet Earth, all because he stepped in to the right season. Hey, I come to tell us tonight, I feel like there's a season. I don't know what it is. If I did, I'd tell you what it was. All I know is what I heard the Lord speak to my heart. When the season comes, it's important to step in that altar and grab the horns, lay hold of the horns of the altar, and don't turn loose until you get what God has prepared for you. Woo! Amen. I think how foolish it is to tamper with the goodness of God. Our Lord is gracious, but He's not a beggar. God will come with what you need, but He won't beg you. My pastor growing up, Brother Larry Stevens, used to tell us, God is a personal gentleman. Amen. He's very gentle. He'll offer. Amen. But He won't force Himself on you. He'll spread the table. He'll tell you, hey, I'm going to fix you the best meal that you've ever ate. He'll set the table. And they called and said, everything's ready. Come and eat. But they never forced these men. And these men said, I've got a wife. I've bought some land. I've got to prove my oxen. And they never got another chance. So that good man of the house said, go out into the streets and compel the blind. That was me one time. Compel the lame and the halt. Those sinners out there, call them to come in. And that's where we are today. If the church won't accept it, God will save a drunk off the bar stool. If the church won't get the Holy Ghost, God will bring them in that don't know anything. I come to tell us there's a season that God has opened up, and you better move in that season. A man may excuse himself, Moody said. Amen. But he may never excuse himself out. You say, well, I'll excuse myself. You might excuse yourself right into hell, but you'll never excuse yourself out. You might excuse yourself right out of the blessing of God, but you'll never excuse yourself in the blessing of God. Hey, I think anything is easier, amen, than to take indifference. I'd rather for somebody to be my friend or to be my enemy. That's easier to take. At least you know where they stand. But if somebody holds you off at bay, it's better to be either loved or hated than to be ignored. People live within 100 miles of Niagara Falls, but they've never even took the trip of an hour or two to go see it. Amen. On the other hand, people will drive and fly from around the world to see that great wonder that God has made. Why does those people live an hour or 2 hours from Niagara and never see it? They're indifferent. They could care less. That's much like people right inside of the church, right where the Holy Ghost is falling, right where God is moving. And we say, why don't they get in there and get it? Right there it is. They can have it. The table is spread. It's all ready to take. But they won't get it because they're indifferent, because of lack of desire. Oh, God, help us to get hungry for the supper. Help us, Lord. Every preacher who's ever given an invitation sees the same thing happen again and again. God is asking.
Yeah.
God is pleading. God has a table set.
Yeah.
You ever give that altar call, Brother Tommy?
Yes, I have.
And you seen that table spread. Woo! Hey, I'm a steak man. Steak and potatoes. Tell that looking at me, amen. Hey, I can see that table, Brother Tommy, with a big old ribeye. Hey, woo! Or maybe some fried chicken, amen. Ain't God make potato? Amen. All the fixings is spread around the table. And God is saying, here it is. I've got what you need. All you got to do is respond. All you got to do is show up. All you got to do is ask me, and I'll fill you. I'll give you everything I got. But we get too stubborn, and we'd rather have possessions. We'd rather have people, and we'd rather have the things of the world instead of God. Help us, Lord, to realize the importance of the season.
Yes.
Amen. Of that season. Oh, God, help us. Indifference will kill your business. That's right. Indifference will destroy your marriage. Indifference cancels everything that is beautiful in life. The best books in the world are right there beside your house in the public library, but nobody goes and reads them. Woo! The best book in the world is laying on your coffee table, but nobody ever reads it. Oh. Amen. The best bookmaker in the world and the greatest comforter in the world is right amongst you, but we won't take the time to ask for his presence. Hey, I come to tell us, don't be indifferent. Amen. I'm getting ready to call us in, and it's getting ready to be an important time. Amen. But oh, don't be indifferent. Hey, it'll take you down. You don't need, amen, to be a beggar, to miss the thrill of the sunset or of the galaxy and the stars. All you need to be is indifferent and never look up to what God has for you. Will God change the rule of heaven and hell? No. For I say unto you, he said, that none, amen, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Later on in verse 24. Ponder those words, my lukewarm friend. God expects an answer. Are you going to come? Amen. Are you going to come? He sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come. For all things are now ready. May God put that authority in our souls as the invitation is given. In every crowd, there are some who are indifferent to everything. They don't even hate the adventures in business or family that attract their attention. They are listless. They are indecisive. Yeah. They simply just go with the flow. They're just here. Yeah. I don't want to just be here. I want to have what God has for me. Yeah. Amen. Stand with me across this house tonight. Amen. You may be living an empty life, but you don't need to. Amen. You don't need to live that empty life just to tumble into an empty eternity. But God's supper, his great salvation, can change everything right now. Hey, if you need to be saved, you can find it right up here in this altar. If you need to be sanctified, amen, what does that mean? Oh, Brother Tom, coach you playing tonight. Amen. We hit on a little bit this morning. He'll take the desire for those things that you used to love to do. He'll take that desire right out, and he'll replace it with the desire of the things of God, of godly things. Hey, if you need the Holy Ghost, he'll baptize you in the Holy Ghost right here tonight. Oh, Brother Jairus, Chelsea's husband up there, he told Friday night, I didn't know it, I figured he had the Holy Ghost a lot longer than that, but he said Friday night at camp meeting is special to me. He said because 3 years ago, and he pointed to that spot, he said right there in the front, right beside of that altar, the altar call was given, and I needed the Holy Ghost, and he said right there, 3 years ago, God gave me the Holy Ghost. Right. Hey, what he was saying was, the table table was spread, the invitation was given, come, amen, and eat of everything that I've got. And he said, I acted upon it, and God gave me the Holy Ghost. What do you need tonight? Is your heart broken? Is things in life got you down? He said, come, and I'll give you rest. What is it you need tonight? God can give it to you right here in this altar tonight. Woo. Let's do it this way, right, brother. Sing, bow your head here. Woo. Amen. Bow your head with me tonight. Who'd be the first one? I don't know what it is. I mentioned saint, sanctified. You need the Holy Ghost. You step out. You say, hey, buddy. Amen. My heart's heavy tonight. I just need God to prove himself real to me on a Sunday night. Amen. I see the dish just for that. I see it. Amen. Oh, God, open it up, Lord. Let them see, God, that you've got what they need. The season is open. Don't make an excuse. School can wait. That job can wait. Amen. Land can wait. People can wait. Amen. I've got to get what God's got for me. I got to step out right now and get what he's got. He'll be the first one to step out and say, hey, I need something tonight. And God's got it. There's a table spread. Hey, come on, come on. Amen, come on. Amen, some of you need it. There's some stepping out. Amen, get it. God's got what you need. I said, God has got the table spread for you tonight.
Come on.
Woo, come on, come on. Let's pray, sir. Find yourself a place to pray. And trust God. The table is spread. And he's got what you need.
Woo! Stars of the night, how does it feel to know you? Oh.